Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. At their most recent meeting on Tuesday, Council unanimously passed a motion to take more measures to protect turtles. The motion, brought forward by Councillor Lisa Osanek, proposes the speed limit on Highway 2 East be lowered from 80 km per hour to 60 km per hour from Abbeydon Road to St. Lawrence Avenue, and that the no-passing zone be extended. Highway 2 East runs across a provincially significant wetland complex between Abbeydon Road and St. Lawrence Avenue. Due to its proximity to turtle habitat, the short stretch of road is known as a hotspot for turtle fatalities. While the city recently invested in installing turtle fencing along many parts of the wetland, there are still at least 9 access roads and a private road where turtles have easy access to get onto Highway 2 East. Councillor Osanek and proponents of the motion state more needs to be done to protect this at-risk species.
There's still some gaps where turtles can get in, and it's much easier to try to avoid any wildlife or, you know, pedestrians walking there or people, riding their bikes if you're going slower, 60 to 70 kilometers per hour, than speeding going 80 to 90 kilometers per hour. So that's the gist of this motion.
Councillor Connie Glenn seconded the motion, agreeing that the current speed on Highway 2 is not just hazardous for turtles, but also people.
I travel down this stretch of road regularly to go from City Hall to home, and I can tell you that the speed, even though it's 80, often is traveled much more quickly, and that spot is dangerous, not just for turtles, but for people. I wouldn't consider biking through there. I would be too worried about getting hit, to be quite frank.
In addition to speed limit reduction, the motion also directs staff to bring a report to council in early 2026 to establish a prohibition of fishing on city property at turtle habitat areas. Mabin Armstrong, founder of local advocacy organization Turtles Kingston, appeared before council to speak to this specific issue.
Fishing and turtles, they don't mix. Recreational fishing may seem harmless, but for Canada's freshwater turtles, it presents a deadly risk. These ancient survivors are now facing one of the greatest threats, accidental hooking by anglers. Many freshwater turtles are opportunistic feeders, drawn to live bait or lures, which they mistake for prey. Once hooked, turtles often suffer a slow and painful decline. In far too many cases, the fishing line is simply cut, leaving the hook embedded inside the turtle, often deep in the throat or stomach, where it cannot be removed without veterinary intervention. A conservative estimate suggests that 1 in 3 turtles has been hooked at some point. Without medical treatment, most suffer and die prematurely.
Osanek and Glenn also stressed this portion of the motion before council.
Dr. Susan Carstairs, who's the lead vet and executive director of the trauma center, they got a new x-ray machine. And as they started x-raying turtles that had damaged shells from being hit by cars, they were flabbergasted at the number of turtles that were being x-rayed that have these hooks. So if we can all picture a time when we've had a really bad stomach ache, just multiply that pain by, you know, tenfold, a hundredfold of how much more painful it would be to actually deal with a hook in our stomach. And that is the purpose for this no fishing in turtle habitat areas.
My husband's been a fisherman since he was 10, maybe younger. And when I asked him about this, what he said to me is, yeah, we have lots of places to go fish. And he said it's not just about the hooks, it's about the lines that get tangled up and left in the water, all of it. And responsible fishermen don't want to see this happen. If there's any complaints about that, I think they're invalid. We have so much waterways, so many places you could possibly go to fish.
With the unanimous support of council, the changes will soon take effect, along with the addition of some flashier turtle warning signs in the area in 2026.
I think dropping the speed limit is going to be beneficial for multi-species turtles and us.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is part 8 of our OUA football season preview, and today we shine the spotlight on the Guelph Griffins. In 2022, the Guelph Griffins had a rock-bottom 1-7 season. In 2023, they committed to a new quarterback in young Tristan Aboud. And in 2024, Aboud broke out, putting on an offensive clinic. Aboud, alongside another young player in running back Donovan Malloy, gives this Guelph offense a level of depth and complexity it's lacked since, I'd argue, 2015. The Guelph defense is always formidable, due in large part to their ability to recruit top-notch athletes from across the country. Even if Guelph doesn't shut you down, they can take you out with their relentless physical play. Guelph has dealt season-ending injuries to key offensive players on Queens in three of their last four matchups, including Richard Burton in 2021, James Keenan in 2022, and Alex Vraken in 2024. Winning against Guelph is one thing, surviving with your starters intact is a whole other struggle. Guelph does have a pretty punishing 2025 schedule. Their first four games are against 2024 playoff teams. They host Laurier, travel to London to play Western, then down to Windsor to play the Lancers, before hosting Ottawa back in Guelph. They also host the Gaels for their homecoming game in Week 7, which I think will be a preview of a major playoff matchup. I have Guelph finishing with a 7-1 record. I think their sole loss comes in Week 2 to the Western Mustangs on the road. Guelph will finish as a top 3 seed, but I am predicting a 3-way tie for the best record in the OUA between them, Queens, and Western, all with identical 7-1 marks. If it comes down to a point differential tiebreaker, I think Guelph finishes third, behind the Mustangs and the Gaels, respectively. Either way, this is a legit contender for the Yates Cup. I think Guelph, very well, especially if they beat Western, could end up being the favorite to hoist the Yates Cup in November. That's a wrap for today's sports report. Check in again next week for part 9 of our ongoing series as we take a look at the Western Mustangs.
Hi folks, I'm Ellie Sturton, bringing you your YGK Arts News. The 11th season of the Kick and Push Innovative Performance Festival has been running since July 24th in Kingston. It featured the site-specific work Providence, which is set in 1875, following Kingston railworkers. It was performed outdoors on the original tracks of the K&P Railway. In another performance, a life-sized moose puppet named Boreas was walked throughout McDonald Park, bringing with him the smells and sounds of nature as they would be experienced across the four seasons. The performance encouraged reflection on humanity's ties to the urban world. The Fringe Festival, running under the Kick and Push Festival, has countless experimental productions running this week. With comedies, dramas, and improvisational shows, there is something here for everyone. The Kick and Push Festival will close this week on Sunday, August 17th, so there is still time to witness some boundary-pushing local theater. In other news, the Tet Center will be running bi-weekly collage club sessions, starting this week and running until the end of September. These 19-plus social arts events are designed to help young adults build community, spark creativity, and make meaningful real-life connections. Run by the Tet Artist-in-Residence, Ro Granta, these collage sessions encourage adults to reconnect to their creative side through a playful and accessible art form. And like much of the Tet Center's financially accessible programming, these sessions are pay what you can. The first collage club session will run from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, August 14th. I'm Ellie Sturton, and those are your YGK Arts Updates.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, August 11th, it's going to be sunny and humid here in the city of Kingston, 28 feeling closer to 30 with the Humidex UV index of 8, so quite high. Tuesday, August 12th, daytime high of 30, but cloudy conditions, going to be very warm and very humid, feeling closer to 32. Wednesday, August 13th, daytime high of 27, feeling closer to 31, UV index of 7, another cloudy, humid day here in the city of Kingston. Thursday, August 14th, daytime high of 27 degrees, feeling closer to 29, sunny conditions, but lower humidity than the last few weeks we've had here in the city of Kingston. Friday, August 15th, daytime high of 27, feeling closer to 30, sunny day, high UV index of 7, but once again, lower humidity than we've seen in recent weeks. Saturday, August 16th, it's going to be humid with some hazy sunshine, so a bit more of those wildfire smoke clouds rolling into Kingston again, feeling closer to 31, and yeah, it's going to be hazy, so maybe stay indoors on Saturday, August 16th. Sunday, August 17th, we once again have rain and a thunderstorm forecasted, high of 28, feeling closer to 34, so extremely humid. Perhaps that higher humidity will bring about a storm. It's been a dry drought condition here in Kingston and the greater areas, so rain is much needed. And then moving into the start of next week, Monday, August 18th, daytime high of 24, projected to feel much less humid though, with just a daytime high feeling like 25. So if we get that thunderstorm on Sunday, it looks like the start of next week will be a little more bearable and nice. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. The LaSalle Causeway will be closed to pedestrians and motorists from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday, August 17th. Here are some other key road closures for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle is closed until August 15th for the removal and replacement of a culvert. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cataractway Woods Drive, Rosanna to Holden is closed from August 11th to August 28th from 9 to 3 each day for roundabout upgrades. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Middle Road, Joyceville to Highway 2, closed August 11th to 22nd, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day to complete culvert relining. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. And Woodburn Road, Hitchcock to Whitechurch is closed for a contractor to complete culvert relining. Here are some other relevant road closures and delays. Bayridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Cataractway Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, San Beta Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle. Expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Avenue, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper. Expect delays while a contractor completes construction of new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users and accommodate increased traffic from the Wabin Crossing. And Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Now coming up, we'll have a look at some great community events running in Kingston and the area this week. On Wednesday, Games in the Square takes over Springer Market Square from 6 to 8 p.m. with giant board games like Snakes and Ladders, Connect Four, and Cornhole. It's free and open to all. At Scandi Flow Health and Wellness, Mandala Magic and Mindful Movement combines gentle yoga, mandala dot painting, and refreshments for $65, materials included. Wednesday night, Universe presents Video Girl at the Grad Club, a sci-fi drag solo show with music and campy storytelling. Doors open at 8 and the show starts at 8:30, and tickets are just $10 online. On Thursday, Stories in the Square starts at 10:30 a.m. in the City Hall Amphitheater with free stories and songs for kids of all ages. At Art Noise, Life Drawing runs from 6 to 8 p.m. with a nude male model, just $10 to drop in and practice your sketching. Over at the Tet Center, the theatrical production Love in the First Degree opens with an interactive 1980s wedding mystery where the audience has to figure out who done it. Tickets range from $15 to $45. Movies in the Square is back on at Springer Market Square, screening Wicked at dusk. Bring a lawn chair and enjoy the free outdoor show. On Friday, Carlo Estates Winery hosts bingo from 6 to 9 p.m. It's a drag bingo night in their speakeasy for those 19+, and your $10 deposit goes towards your first drink. The Loaf and Ale has music trivia with Terry from 7 to 11 p.m. And Something in the Water Brewery presents Super Funny Friday with headliner Luke Bond at 8 p.m. Tickets are $10. Then on Saturday, Greek Fest runs from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. at the Greek Orthodox Church on Johnson Street with live music, dancing, artisan vendors, and authentic Greek food. Entry is free with a cash or food donation to the Partners in Mission Food Bank. In Springer Market Square, see a live chef demo from Aquaterra, running from 11 to noon. And after they're finished cooking, you can get a $2 sample. Finally on Sunday, Yoga in the Park is from 10 to 11 a.m. in Battery Park. It's free, outdoors, and open to all. Just bring your mat and enjoy the waterfront view. Have a local event you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Hey folks, I'm Ellie Sturton, and coming up are your live music events happening around town this week. On Wednesday, Kingston's Nolan Hubbard plays the Bank Gastro Bar from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. with his indie pop sound. Fast Forward to Friday brings high-energy rock and pop covers to the Wharf and Feather from 6 to 9 p.m. At 7 p.m., the Big Fat Horn Band takes over Springer Market Square for a free big band show. And at 7:30, indie pop artists Luella and Clara Smallman play BSE Skate Shop with tickets going for just $15. On Thursday, Tom Savage performs at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. for Original Thursdays. At the RCHA, Clem Chesterfield's Country Open Mic runs from 7 to 10 p.m. with just a $5 cover for non-members. Musiki Cafe features Cacao, Jean-Jacques Dupel, and Will Hound from 8 to 11 p.m. with no cover. Over at Hotel Wolf Island, Danny Lage and the Looks play from 8:30 to 11 p.m., and Joan Smith and the Jane Does hit the Toucan from 9:30 to 1 a.m. On Friday, the Human Rights headline the Music Westport Kickoff Party at the Cove Inn from 5 to 9 p.m. Tickets are $90 and include dinner and a festival donation. In Springer Market Square, Clem Chesterfield plays at 7 p.m. with free line and square dancing lessons starting at 6. And the Peter Kopp Project is at the Old English Pub from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Elliot Brood performs at Base 31 at 7:30 p.m. and Cherry Garcia plays Hotel Wolf Island at 8:30 p.m. Then Max and his equals bring rock to the Royal Tavern 2.0 from 9 p.m. to midnight. On Saturday, Saturday sessions at Confederation Park run from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. with Adam Chartrand, Two Thirds Down Under, and Jenica Rain. At noon, the LaSalle Causeway Swing Band performs at St. George's Cathedral. Beats by the Beach brings Whiskey Smoke to the Point Park in South Frontenac from 1 to 3 p.m. The Music Westport Festival continues from 1 to 7 p.m. with music across two stages, followed by the after party at the Cove Inn from 8 to 11 p.m. with Generator Party. Eamon McGrath plays Musiki from 4 to 6 p.m. The Ontario Youth Choir performs at St. George's from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Folks can see Dean Brody headline at Base 31 at 7:30 p.m. And Fast Forward to Friday plays at the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 560 from 8 p.m. to midnight. On Sunday, the Memorial Centre Farmers Market runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with live music by the Cork Sniffers. See Lady and the Lads play Time Out Bar and Bistro at 3 p.m. and the Retro Kings perform at Hotel Wolf Island from 5 to 7 p.m. Kim Pollard is singing the blues at the Loaf and Ale in Napanee from 5 to 7 p.m. And to wrap up the week, Kai Anto plays Musiki Cafe from 8 to 11:15 p.m. Have a local concert that you'd like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.